I did a head count earlier, and it seems to me that we're back to 10 again.
Wow.
I like that, number 10.
I wish it was 11.
Yeah, I know.
I wish it was about 15. But anyhow, welcome everybody here on this cold Sabbath afternoon. And here we are. I'm not using that one yet. Here we are at the very beginning of a brand new calendar year. And the old one now is officially, for a few weeks, been in the history books. And what are we doing? We are still journeying toward the kingdom of God. And if somebody out there in the around heard that we were on a journey somewhere, they'd say, probably, well, where is it you're traveling to? Where is it you're journeying to? It's a kind of a knee-jerk reaction. Now, they would probably ask you where you're going, and you would tell them, they'd come up with all these fantastic routes. But on this particular route, they wouldn't have the direction, would they?
No.
Well, you know, physically speaking, when people share that sort of thing with somebody else, it just comes with the territory. Now, however, on this particular journey, the majority of the people would be lost as to any sort of direction that you would be needing, that they would be willing to give you to actually get you to that very defined destination point. Why? Why am I saying that? Because this journey is very specific, isn't it, brethren? I would say it is. So what I want to speak about today concerns our way forward to the kingdom of God so that we do not lose our way in this jungle of worldly experience. And sometimes when I'm praying, I ask God, I say, can you help me through this maze of confusion? Because it's everywhere. Now, none of us, not one of us in this room, really are traveling anywhere physically yet. I've called this before, it's a vision quest, isn't it? It's a vision, we're questing after this vision we've got in our minds. So it's a vision quest. What is it based upon? Godly faith, where knowledge and understanding of the treasure book have to be what? Applied into our lives in order to establish the right coordinates, the right map coordinates, the longitude and latitude, if you want it that way, to get us, thanks, Reg, to the desired finish line. Now, if you and I were to state this to somebody outside of the faith, it would probably, no doubt, leave them scratching their heads in wonderment. You know something? I can say all that. Because in this life, there are many, many things, many situations, many trials and difficulties that can... I lost my volume. Okay.
We can hear you just fine.
Okay, there's many trials and difficulties that can get in the way of this, what we'd like to call vibrant life. Many things. But you know something? All that begins to fade away when we discover our ultimate purpose in life. And you're probably wondering, what is our ultimate purpose in life? What is Stefan meaning by that? Now, in our fellowship circles and our talking back and forth with each other, we can't help but discuss the stress that we feel by what is taking place out there. And as I give the terminology to the around, it's all around us, in our neighborhoods. We can't help to get upset with that. We have fellow Christians in other areas of the world suffering over-the-top persecution by these militant groups that are out there. They think they're doing right. don't know where they're getting their marching orders from. It's not from God. Rampant health care issues. It's all over the place. All these thoughts consume people. Constant financial worries. If you got $100 in your pocket now, you're not going much further than the backyard. Right? It's $1,000 walk around money. I've heard Eddie say that. It's $1,000 now just to walk around the city of Kawartha Lakes. Not to mention the violence, racism, and this bizarre fixation with this gender identity. It's bizarre. This is not in my notes, but I just want to say this. Wednesday night we had a study on there about getting us ready for this nonsense. I say that about 3 or 4 more presentations, we're going to be agreeing with the around. It was absolutely insane. This thing, what was it called, Sandy? But something to do with what's taking place now with the government in regards to all this stuff I just mentioned about problems. How we have to accept the problems. Okay, back to the notes. The stress is compounded by the speed of all this electronic information and all these advances in technology and all these constant changes in the social normals that we used to have. These things are all being blasted. It's like a hand grenade was thrown. It was all just this spread. Doesn't mean anything anymore. Now, it's amazing that how many people are willing to change the definition of the one thing that's been around for millennia, and that's marriage. It's been the bedrock of the Christian family through generations and generations of time, hasn't it? They're willing to change that just like that. Now, the only way that we can get out of this mess is return to our Creator, the one that's given us the original purpose in life. The problem is discovering that purpose. Why is this? Why would I say that? Because it goes against the social programming. The social programming is what? It could be summed up quickly. The ultimate social programming is summed up by the pursuit of being happy. The pursuit of happiness. You want to be happy, I want to be happy, everyone wants to be happy, and I'm not saying happy, being happy or happiness is a bad thing. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. I brought a message on that a couple years ago. We went through that. So it's not such a bad thing. But everybody wants to be happy. That's kind of a social norm. But the happiness bubble bursts almost daily on a constant basis, doesn't it? When the issues of life itself constantly are wearing away and eroding our happiness. And it's almost an endless list of problems that get in the way of this happiness thing that we're questing after. Not us, maybe, but the world. They're questing after that. Conflicts in relationships, the never-ending cost of physical life, and we could make a huge list if we wanted to of all these things that get in the way of people being happy. Now, our feelings of happiness can easily dissolve because of mental and emotional breakdown when conflict and difficult experiences get out of control. This happiness bubble is pierced, broken. And what's left? Grief and sadness. But living a life with an ultimate purpose in mind gives us a chance to live beyond our own limitations. We know the word says to love and sacrifice ourselves and give to others, being a light. Now, finding a life meaning and a life purpose is the secret to dealing with this stress and all this anxiety and all this hopelessness that can engulf our everyday lives. So where do we go to discover this personal purpose that I'm talking about? Well, the answer is not going to be found in an aptitude test. You're not going to get it out of a college class, or you're not going to get it by trying to discover your inner God or your inner goddess. Because if there is a purpose in life, which we know that there is, we must find the answer with the very Creator Himself. So let's go to our very first scripture. First John 3, we're going to take the first three scriptures there, let's turn there. And God reveals our purpose through His Word, that book you've got right in front of you there, because the Bible is a story that concerns so much of what the Godhead are doing with mankind. It is about creation and the Creator who made everything. He made it all. It's about God's desire for children of His own. He wants to make a family. And you know something? There's something else happening here on the earth. And here it is. Humanity has an overall desire, basically, I'm talking overall, to be independent from our Creator. And we have built into this whole situation Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is working to bring us back to the Creator's original family plan. The picture of the Bible is about how you and I personally have a very specific purpose in the universe. Not just our planetary system, but the whole universe. I gave a message on that a couple of feasts ago. And the key word was all. I think you can find that somewhere online on CGI's website if you wanted to look at it, CGI Canada. Now, the Apostle John wrote about that purpose. 1 John 3, 1-3, I'll quote, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." Let's look at three statements I just read there in those three verses. The Apostle John, he makes these. First, very first verse, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God." That's a statement. God created each one of us for a reason. He gave us what? Each of us He gave free will to. The problem with free will, and it can be a problem, it's a good thing too, but it can be a problem that we will all probably in the course of time in our lives, because of this free will, make some bad or poor choices. You and I live in this world where there's billions of people making wrong choices every day. Every day. And the only way we can get out of this mess is to return to our Creator and discover our original God-given purpose. That purpose, I just read. We are now His children. Can we see that? The purpose is to be His children, which we will see in the second point. Second verse, "Beloved," I quote now, "beloved, now, got to accentuate that word. Now we are children of God." and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed at his coming, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, at the very beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, it states that human beings were made in whose image? God's image. Yes. Years later, the Apostle John wrote that those who respond to God's call are offered a future in which we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We don't see that right now. It's coming. John wrote, we will be like God. Just as human children are like their human parents. Take a look at these two right here. They look like each other, but they're made in the image of God. Amazing. Can look like each other too. They're called twins. Identical twins. Now the reason we don't exactly know what it will be like at that point, we're not told. Our human minds really can't comprehend what this infinite God, the way he thinks. His ways are not our ways, and our ways are not his ways, right? But again, the intention is for us to become like him. So can we wrap, can I wrap, can you wrap our minds around this ultimate purpose? There's 10 of us here today. There's 73,000 in Kawartha Lakes. Most don't get it. Right? The third point of this passage gives us daily direction to the awesome purpose. And everyone, and I quote here, and everyone who has this hope in who? In him. Talking about Christ, purifies himself just as Christ is pure. That's a big statement. Everyone who has this hope. This means that to fulfill God's purpose, you and I must do something. The real point, and this is it, the real point of this discussion today is what this actually says right here. Our ultimate purpose is that God created human beings in his image because he wants children to live with them just for a short period of time. No, forever. We have a beginning, but when we're resurrected and become like Christ, there will be no ending. So it's forever. Not as pets, not as angels, but as beings at that point who are made in his image. At that point, immortal beings who are going to be exactly like him. This purpose involves an awesome and fantastic future. It also involves your and my life right now. Living your and my ultimate purpose has an operation today. Now the Apostle John wrote that, quoting verse 2, we are now, right now, the children of God. What does that mean? We're not spiritual. We can't walk through walls and all that sort of thing. But yes, God is offering us a future. He is offering you and I a meaningful life right in here and now. You and I have a relationship with God, and we have this every day of our present, lived in right now life. God wants to have a personal one-on-one relationship with all 10 of us here today, as well all the rest of the brethren are scattered all over the place. The ultimate meaning in this life is about you and my relationship with God, the Father, and Jesus Christ. It's about being God's child now. Right now, in the present, and looking forward and continually preparing for this promised future as we sojourn to the kingdom that's just ahead of us. Let's turn now to the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29, let's turn there. I'm just going to use two scriptures here, 12 and 13. Jeremiah 29, verses 12 and 13. Now, regrettably, this good news that we're talking about here today, it gets muddy in much of the mainstream Christian preaching today. Now, not all of it, but much of it does get muddied there. And too often, these particular Christian pulpits, they preach a health and wealth gospel. They talk about this grace that's really cheap. It's a different rendition of grace. And the message that, oh, Jesus loves you and loves me just the way that we are. And that leaves people remaining just the way they are and really not recognizing the fact that they need to be involved in the putting off and the putting on process. I don't have to change. God the Father has to accept me for the way that I am. That's kind of what they say. But it's a change process. So here in Jeremiah 29, consider what God inspired Jeremiah to write. I quote verse 12. Then you will call upon me and go pray to me, and I, God speaking here, will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me, and when you search for me, here it comes, with all your heart. Now we must stop seeking, making this number one, stop seeking and putting number one before God, our own purpose. So we must stop seeking our own purpose by attempting to stay in this bubble so many people want, this happiness bubble, and pursuing our own self-determined purpose. We need to put that aside, down the list, let's put it that way, and seek God's purpose with just a quarter of our heart, not with all of it. No. This is what takes place out there. People put themselves and all their ambitions before God. God has to be, I'm going to speak in tongues here, numero uno. It's probably backwards. It means number one in French. We have to put God as number one. Not 4, 5, 6, or 10, or 20, or 30. Number one. This is what we're talking about here today. Now, let's face it. Authentic, real Christianity is not slightly warm. It's not half-hearted. It's not law-ignoring. It's not part-time. It's not this once-in-a-while religious feeling. Authentic Christianity is about being restored to our original God-given purpose. It's about transformation. It's about giving up everything to leave this world behind, to come out of this world. It's about giving up everything to receive the amazing abundance. I had another word here, I just changed it. To receive this amazing abundance that God's going to give you. Let me quote from two different places. Don't turn to it. Let me quote, just listen to what these quotes say. One's in Luke 14, and the other's in Revelation 21. Luke 14, 33 says this, in the same way also, each one of you who does not forsake all that he possesses cannot be my disciple. What'd you say, Rich?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. That's a wow scripture. Revelation 21:7 says this, the one who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's another wow. The Godhead are in the process of leading us back to what should have taken place in the Garden of Eden, but did not. Leading us back to our original and ultimate purpose, it's about restoration. Authentic Christianity is about breaking out of the natural human bubble of self-centeredness. It's about the dynamic force of God in our lives, changing you, changing me, restoring us back to the original purpose, facing all of life's difficulties with what? With faith and hope. We don't see the Godhead. It's through faith and hope. It's about finding happiness through loving others, loving God. But loving God, loving each other, loving others, and even, this is so hard, loving your enemies. That's a difficult deal. I didn't make that up. That's what the scriptures say. And coming to the realization, understanding that God is drawing you and I into his very own personal family. And how big is that family going to be? There's going to be enough room for all 10 of us. Millions. I have no idea. Millions. God's not fooling around. Now, when you, when I accept this purpose, it's then that Jehovah God truly becomes our Father. Now, many people have a difficult time relating to Jehovah God as a Father, because first and foremost, we can't experience him with any of our physical senses. And let's not forget, the old Scratch, he's around, his adversaries are with him, deceiving the whole world. Revelation 12, verse 9, if you want a scripture for that. Satan deceives the whole world. Let's ask the question. How many different directions could the unconverted parent, think about this. How many different directions could the unconverted parents, let's say father, and let's say mother, but let's say father, he's supposed to be the leader of the family, right? So how many different directions could the unconverted parent lead us in? And you're saying, what in the world are you talking about? Well, I'll explain it. How many of our human fathers pointed us in the right spiritual direction? Probably very few. Right? There are some families that are all in the church. I see it. Many generations of them. I exclude them. Now, in all likelihood, the very direction that we were shown from our parents, from our father, was probably passed down, right? Now, this is what the majority of us have had to contend with, brethren. This is what we now realize. The absence of real godly truth and understanding, the majority of our physical parents did not have. Our physical parents, if I can put it this way, were in the dark. From our Creator God, from the true Creator God. Better put it that way. Now, this supernatural drawing that is taking place into the God family has absolutely nothing to do with intelligence. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here, right? Most of us probably, I include myself, I'm of average or less than average intelligence. I'm not a genius. I'm not an Einstein. Just how it goes. So, it really is a miraculous concept to receive this calling. Now, I should qualify this right now. because it may take some serious prayer, some serious Bible study, in contemplating how this Jehovah God, if I've got that name right, how he is a perfect father, and we are called to this same juncture. Matthew 5:48, we're called the perfect as well, and we're not perfect. So it may take some serious prayer and Bible study, contemplating how we are going to enter into this family. Because it's not so simple. So we need to come to experience all this, and we are experiencing it all. It's not a cakewalk. Let's go to Hebrews 2 this time. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, those verses I'll use. There is another relationship that can help us in understanding how we can be a child in God's family. It's explained in the New Testament book of Hebrews, the second chapter. We'll read from 14 to 15, and I quote 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, speaking of Jesus Christ, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, Jesus Christ came to the earth to become like children, just like us. Just like you and me, started just like we did, this pinprick of life, to share in our experience as flesh and blood so that he could release us from death and give us this eternal life that they're calling us to. And the Bible reveals, doesn't it, that Jesus had quite a few different roles that he fulfilled. He was Lord. He was child. I suppose we could go on and make a whole list of them. But we'll talk about the big ones. Lord, he was Messiah. He was Savior. He was Master Shepherd that I talked about a month ago. He was High Priest. And here as well, guess what? He's our brother. He fulfills that role too. Now do I ever feel too overwhelmed to approach the awesome God who may seem so far away, so great, so perfect that we think, why would he ever listen to me? Remember that in this comes the other relationship. There's another relationship. Because we have an advocate, we have a high priest, we have Jesus Christ. I just described that. He's our high priest, he's our Savior, he's our Messiah. And he sits at the right hand of the Father who helps bring you to him. God is creating an incredible family. And our father and our elder brother are dedicated in helping us, helping you and helping me to be a part of it. That's the other part. We're not doing this alone. Brethren, we unquestionably have a huge part to play as well. If we want God's purpose for our life to become reality, then there is something that we also have to do, that we must do. Our ultimate purpose has been given by our Creator. We know that. He's calling and making a family. He wants us to be a part of his family. We know that. Nobody's going to force you. Nobody's going to force me. Because we have this freedom to choose, don't we? But we must choose to accept the purpose of the calling. Many people, the majority that would hear this message from our ministry, they would simply walk away from it. We just heard one today. Brother Larry told us. Lady was in the faith, I guess. What'd she do? She heard the message, heard the message, heard the message, heard the message. Boom. Turned away from her. Heard the message again from Larry. Oh, it doesn't matter. What'd she say? Doesn't matter. Something like that. It's amazing. They walk away from it. So let's see something by Paul in Ephesians in the 5th chapter. Ephesians 5, let's turn there. Because if you and I want God's purpose to take place in our lives, what should we do? The Apostle Paul answered that very question in his letter to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 5, verse 1. This is it right here. Not the end of the message, but this is the big statement. Verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Brethren, that doesn't mean in the future. That means right now, not tomorrow, not next week or next month. Forget about that. There's, as I said already, no lukewarm, no part-time situation going on here. Paul recognized that. He recognized there was no part-time or convenient Christianity, nor is there for us. We have to be like Paul. We have to think that way. He taught that true Christianity was nothing less than trying to walk like our Father, to act like our Father, to think like our Father, and to be imitators of our Father. Remember what Christ said. If you've seen me, you've seen who? The Father. Most of us here are parents. Some of us here are grandparents. Let's consider one of our kids walking into a hardware store in a small town. A small town where your family is fairly well known. It's a Benoit town. It's down in Newfoundland, let's say. And a fellow in the hardware store, running the hardware store, comes up to Reg's grandkid and says, "Oh, you're Reg Benoit's offspring. You're Reg Benoit's grandson, aren't you?" And he waits a bit. And the little boy says, "Yes." Then he proceeds to tell Reg's grandson, "How much? Do you ever look like Reg? And do you ever act like Reg? Do you ever have the mannerisms? An example of Reg?" Well, that would be the ultimate compliment for anyone to give any one of us here, right? And the comment might sound like this. "Oh, you're a Christian, aren't you? I can tell. Your grandfather, he's like that." Speaking about Reg, that's the ultimate compliment. It could be the Dormer family. It could be the Crooks family. It could be the Aldred family. It could be all of us. I can't remember all the last ones, so I better quit there. So, I mean, that's it, really. That's why I thought Sonia's scripture reading was quite good. It's about being a light like the Benoit family. So if we want God's purpose in our life, then our Christianity must be more than just singing a few praises, throwing a bit of money in the holy day offering plate we do every 7 times a year, I guess I can say. But again, Paul said that we are to be something else much greater than that. Imitators. As dear children of God, can we see ourselves as someone who God sees as dear, as precious, as a beloved child, as a child who desires to be like his father? Like Senior Benoit? Let's make it better than that. How about our Father in Heaven? imitators, right?
Yeah.
Imitators. After Paul tells us to imitate God in verse 1, then Paul writes the very next verse, verse 2, and do what? Walk in love, and I quote, as Christ also has given us, or given himself rather, that's death for us. An offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma, pretty nice incense. Now, there are two things needed for a person to be a true child of God. Now, I said true, so if there's true children of God, there can be what? On the other flip side of the coin, false. So true we're talking about here. First, we must accept that we are all imperfect. We must accept that fact. Right now in the flesh we are, because of our bad choices and our corrupt human nature. In the flesh. I'm qualifying that. We are a distorted image right now in the flesh of God. Now, I've got in brackets, it's a Garden of Eden problem, isn't it? We took on the law, the first two humans took on the law of sin and death there, and it's still that way. We're still living in that position. Second, we need God's forgiveness. We're distorted. Reg, I'm sorry, you're not perfect.
No.
So we need God's forgiveness, and that forgiveness is offered upon our repentance to God through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is the only, we can't claim Mr. Benoit, we have to claim God. We have to claim Christ. He's the only one we can claim. Christ is the only entranceway. As we sojourn to the kingdom. He's the only door. There's no other door. Paul continues. Ephesians 5, verses 3 to 5. Oh, there's a but here. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let that not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking. I used to do a lot of that. Nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator or unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, or in the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of God. What is Paul actually saying here? With free will, any of us has the ability to refuse God's offer and live continually through this self-centered purpose, to live in this bubble that I talked about in the beginning. Now, if we do that, there's going to be a terrible price for refusing God's family calling. And what will happen there? God will reject you and me, and we won't be a part of the family. I hate the sound of that. I know you don't like it either, but it's a choice. We have to choose. We have to choose carefully. Listen to Ephesians 5, verses 6 and 8 now, and I quote, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you," write your name in there, "you were once darkness, but now," write your name in here too, "but now you are light in the Lord. Walk," not in the darkness. No, it says, walk as children of light. So how can any of us imitate God. How can we walk as children of light? We're too weak, we're too limited, we're too confused. It's not possible to imitate God on our own intelligence, our own power, or our own, what we like to come up with, spiritual insight. Earlier, I showed you the first step in having God fulfill his purpose. It is to what? Remember? Seek him with one quarter of your heart. Wrong. Seek him with your whole heart. Well done, Reg. That's Jeremiah 29. I quoted that. I won't go back there, but we read it. You and I must accept that, and we need him. Because why? Right now, I'm distorted. We're all distorted. We're all a distorted image of God right now. We're made in his image after his likeness, but we're not perfect like him. We are distorted. We will be able to submit to the work of Christ as our divine brother if we take the first step and seek him with, as Reg just said, our full heart, all of our heart. Okay? Now the next step is receiving power from God to have his purpose fulfilled in our lives. And the Apostle Peter spoke to this very large crowd and told them about the work God is doing through Christ. When many people were moved to seek God with their whole heart that particular day. It talks about that in Acts 2. 3,000 people were baptized that day. Acts 2, verse 38. I didn't tell you to turn there, but don't worry, I'll read it for you. The quote says in 38 of Acts 2, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for what? For the remission of sins, that you yourselves shall receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit, his very power.'" Not all of it, just a down payment of it. Enough to get you into his family. We all understand that. But brethren, so many, the vast majority out there in the around do not. That's why there's only 10 here today when there's 72 or 3,000 in Kawartha Lakes. Right? A life in Christ is worth more than we have ever, ever imagined. You and I have a very specific purpose in this universe. But you and I have a choice in all of it. The truth is you and I do not have to respond to God's purpose. We can all just keep on going on with the majority and ignore God's call to come into his family and be one of his kids. I'll change that. It's not in the Bible. One of his children. But you know what I mean. I catch your attention to say that. I wanted to say it twice in a different way, that's all. But be warned. Because Jesus told a parable but of man who invited people to this big banquet, this big, expensive, important banquet, and that the man spared absolutely no expense in preparing something that would be the absolute best for his guests. But when this man sent his servant out to invite the guests, one by one they all gave these, what they thought, important excuses to not attend. It happened. It's recorded. Then the manual. Well, the excuses seemed good at the time to the people involved. Oh, I need to take care of my property. Oh, I've got a whole bunch of work I got to do. And oh, I just got married. I need to spend time with my wife. Good reasons, right? What the man was offering to the guests was so much more wonderful than any of these things that they were talking about. They lived in where we started, in their little bubbles. Right? Selfishly pursuing their own rendition of what they thought was going to be a never-ending happiness. We know that doesn't last. Right? That is not eternal. They missed out, and the host eventually rejected those whom he invited and asked others to fill their shoes and attend his banquet instead. If you want to look that up and read it, Matthew 22. It's in the Gospel of Matthew, 22nd chapter. Now, God is offering you, he's offering me, right now, his very best. He wants us to realize his ultimate purpose for you and me. He wants us to realize that. To live as his child right now and be changed into his spiritual image forever in his kingdom. Are you guys excited to hear that? I've heard that so many times. I get excited thinking about it. Now, this is going to take place at the appointed time. And he wants you to make his purpose your purpose. He wants you to take it on. He wants to give you an injection. Be a nice injection. I'll get in that lineup, by the way. Brethren, our ultimate purpose is right now. Will you? Will I? Take hold of this awesome first fruits gift? That's what it is. You ever want to be first in something? Now's your chance. Will we accept the invitation, or will you and I find an excuse to pass it by? In light of what God is offering us, I have one simple question for us today. Are you, am I, willing to give up everything to receive the things that God wants for us? It's astronomically huge. Are we willing to give up? God wants to give you a meaningful, fulfilling life, and we can't even come to what that is. It's just impossible. Look out there. What's it going to be? 50,000 years down the road. I have no idea. Something fantastic. He wants to help you. He wants to help me right now to face these little, wee, small, difficult times that we go through. I know Brenna just has a difficult time this last while, and I'm sure she still is. Am I selling that short? Absolutely no. I went through that same kind of situation. I use a vernacular. No, I won't use a vernacular. It's not nice. Let's just put it that way. But he wants to help us through these difficult times. These little things we're going through now is nothing in comparison to what we're going to be given to make it to the end, to cross that finish line. He wants you to have a more meaningful relationship with him as your father right now. Now, I'm going to say this. I've got it written down in my notes. It's optional, but I want to give you the option. Here it is. If we pass up on this calling and are not chosen because we don't follow through with what we should follow through with, someone else will probably get your crown. Yeah. You ever thought about that? It's laying there waiting for you. You won't have to even put it on. You just go like this and Christ will probably put it on you. How would you like somebody else to be number one instead of you? How would I like? I don't want that. Are you kidding? Let's wind down here, my last page. You and I were born to receive incredible spiritual power from God. It's a power to overcome the suffering, overcome the problems of this life. And we've gone more than halfway through, all of us here. I think the youngest here is 63. I can't see her living to be 125. So we're more than halfway. We are almost there, brothers and sisters. Wow. I get excited thinking about it. So we're going to receive this spiritual power from God. It's the power to overcome the suffering problems of this life and be imitators right now of the Godhead. Yes, you and I were born to fulfill our original purpose and be children of God, destined to be like Him, immortal, divine beings, living forever with Him in this massive, probably this massive kingdom that's going to be set up. And it's going to start here. For 1,000 years, we can't relate to. We think that planet Earth is going to be the headquarters and what's going on beyond that. We're going to have to be there to find out. This life in Christ right now that we have is worth more than we can ever, ever, ever imagine. Never forget that. Now, this is the time to totally focus on becoming selected, faithful saints, the children of Jehovah God, those children that He wants you and He wants me to be. As we continue to sojourn to the kingdom through this calendar year, let's keep our vision ahead on the destination and not go wrong nor lose our way. And I'm going to end up where I always end up, because it's fitting. And not lose our way, so that we will hear those all-important words. Matthew 25 talks about it. Parable of the talents. Well done, help me. Well done, good and faithful servants. Welcome to the joy of the Lord. So I hope that was helpful. I didn't go over an hour.